Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
If that was the formula, just do it every time. Homer and don't allow a run. If that was that easy, everybody would do it. The Brewers finish up a 19-7 month of May. Jacob Mizorowski, the best month for a pitcher in Brewers franchise history. The team's pitching staff, the best month in franchise history by ERA. Their fifth shutout of the year. They only allowed three hits. They didn't walk a batter. That is Brewers baseball as you draw it up. Jake Bowers is the only offense of the day. We'll talk about the offense, I promise. But the highlight of the day, Craig Kishon, is the pitching. And Jacob Mizorowski, Abner Uribe, Trevor McGill. That is the exact blueprint. That is exactly what the Brewers got. And they absolutely dominated a team they are better than in the Houston Astros to claim the series victory today.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you add all that up, Dom, and you put those three pitchers in your blueprint for potentially winning a championship, how much better could it possibly get than what we saw today? If you're right, if you can have a little more of that potentially, why not? Why not win plenty more 2-0 games like that? Sometimes the offense is going to be in a rut, and they're obviously in a rut here right now, but their pitching certainly is not. And, you know, the bottom line is our only focus should be on Jacob Mizorowski, because he has just been something to watch, and he truly is. You know, that old saying, must see TV. I don't know anybody really over the course of the month of May who has just gradually not continued to bring this guy's name up when talking about how fun the Brewers are to watch. I mean, he's the guy right now, and he just is simply not disappointing. I mean, to me, he kind of overcame, you know, the mound a little bit here today, and he didn't complain about it. He didn't ask for anybody to come out and fix it. He just did his thing and made adjustments. And, you know, that might be a sign of its own for where his demeanor is here right now, but just an overall great day for him.
Well, for Miz, again, the final line, 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 1 hit batter. 8 strikeouts for him. The strikeouts are low because the Astros are a very aggressive team. 88 pitches and 54 of them were strikes for Miz. Velo was still pretty good, and he was dealing with the mound, like you were saying, with some slipping. It seemed like it was very soft at the bottom of the mound today. But what I was impressed with from Miz is just sort of the belief in his fastball once again, that he really didn't even need his breaking balls till the second and third time through the order, which is confirmed by looking at the data once again. I thought the cutter took a step forward today, which was very important for him. It's going to be continue to be used against certain righties to get him off the scent of the heater and then to use it to break bats against lefties. What I see from Miz is somebody that is developing an understanding, yeah, my fastball is that good, and trusting it. I mean, he averaged 100.5 on the four-seam fastball today, throwing it 59 times. He still got 9 swings and misses on the pitch. Under the hood, the stuff's ridiculous too. But to be hitting 100 miles an hour in the 7th inning again, I mean, this is becoming the standard for Miz, and he is now seeing the reward of all of his hard work throughout the offseason, all the stuff we've talked about, his lower half and gaining pant sizes in a good way. And this is what it's for, to pitch into the 7th inning multiple times, still carrying 100 miles an hour with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, he is facing such a minimal amount of hitters in each of these outings, too. I mean, once again, an outing with no walks and no runs, only 3 hits. And you mentioned a hit batter. So, I mean, think about the outs that he is getting, just mowing through the order, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. So, by the time he faces an order a second time, and especially that third time, he can put the fastball and his velo kind of in reserve funds, if you will, until he needs it in that 7th. And I wondered if he'd go 8 innings here today with a lower pitch count. I think his pitch count was at 89 by the time he departed. But you could tell he was kind of putting his foot back on the gas in that seventh inning and got through that strong. It's quite a pattern that we've seen, because I think just about every start in the month of May has kind of gone this way for Mizorowski. And the few times he's had to overcome any obstacles, he's been able to kind of cruise past that and make the adjustment. So just overall impressive, just the way he's got his physicality, his game plan, and his mindset down in such a pattern right now.
I think the other thing about the pitch count is we're still seeing him keep that under control throughout the game. Let me just give you the pitch totals inning by inning for Miz today. 14, 12, 15, 13, 13, 12, 9. I mean, that is the recipe for success. I mean, that's the recipe to go 8-9 innings. Now, if the Brewers were up 5-0, 6-0, he's going back out there 8th and 9th inning, right? And if the Brewers don't have a fresh bullpen, you now know that, hey, Miz is going to get that chance in an 8th or a 9th inning at some point this season. Keeping the pitch count in the fashion that he's keeping it right now is so impressive and, quite frankly, freakish for him right now. And I just want to point something out. So for Mizorowski, today was the second time this season already that Miz has gone at least 7 without a walk. Yes, I know he hit a batter. At least 7 innings without a walk. I just want to point out, I'm not trying to put this as a knock on this guy that I'm about to mention. You know how many times Freddie Peralta did that in his career as a Brewer? 4. 4 times. Miz is already halfway there in one season. This is some pretty ace-worthy stuff right now, as we all talked about it all offseason long. How are you going to replace Freddie Peralta as a true number one? Jacob Mizorowski, quite frankly, has lapped him this season as being a true number one this year.
So here's what I'll say about all that. We ended the show yesterday, Dom, half joking but half serious about, let's see if this guy can't just go out there and throw a no-hitter, because you know that he is going to be flirting with that at some point in his career, I would imagine sooner than later, the way things are going. All the things that you mentioned and how efficient that he is inning after inning after inning. I mean, let's just say he has a no-hitter through 7 innings and he's at 89. Is there any doubt in the world whether or not he is going to do everything he can to complete that no-hitter on his own? There won't be any restrictions. He'll have his stuff. He'll be set up. It's almost like this is how you can create a no-hitter out of a guy that has the potential of throwing multiple for all I know. I mean, this guy's stuff is so good that we haven't seen anything like this in decades, really. And so that's how impressive I think it is. And I don't think I'm a fool to be talking about that right now, considering what we're seeing. I mean, look like a fool, Dom, but I'm not a fool.
Ashby said it earlier this year when he got pulled for the cramping in Washington. He's got the stuff to throw a no-hitter every single night. And today, he gave up his first extra base hit of the month. I mean, it's dominant. It's not like it's a secret anymore. People know Jacob Mizorowski's showing up with triple-digit heat and a cutter and a slider and a curveball. And to see this month of success for him, and it's shocking that it's now he's created a debate versus a guy that didn't allow a run the entire month versus pure domination from Jacob Mizorowski only allowing one run the entire month. I don't know how you pick, but at least Miz made it interesting this month. 38 and a third innings, 14 hits. That's an 109 batting average against, an 0.52 whip, 57 strikeouts as a franchise record. A 0.23 ERA for the month is a franchise record. I mean, you're right. It's nuts to say like he is going to have a no-hit bid that is carried through 7-8 innings at some point this season. And I don't think any of us are going to be surprised.
No, I mean, not at all. In fact, how good are we going to feel if these numbers that he is putting together game after game after game are there? I mean, this guy's confidence is truly always been very high, but I think the fact that we have seen that confidence, that whole maturation process that we all know that he has to go through, and he's still going through it here right now. But to be able to kind of rein everything in, I don't know. We're seeing a kid just grow up in front of our eyes so quickly. I can't remember the last time this has happened before, and in the time that I've covered this team, especially from a pitching standpoint. I mean, I've seen guys like Fielder and Braun come along, and once they've been, called up to the big leagues, they've been just brilliant and fun to watch and whatnot. But this is a pitcher we're talking about. You don't get to see this very often in a Brewer uniform.
It's really special, and I hope it lasts for a while. We're only a third of the way into the season, but Jacob Mizrowski is off to really the best start for any starting pitcher in Brewers franchise history since Burns and the start that he had in 2021 en route to his Cy Young year. And yet, he's probably not going to win Pitcher of the Month. I just think it's the funniest thing that we'd all joke, like, oh, what? He only gave up one run for the month. Who beat him? The guy who didn't allow any? Yeah, exactly. The guy who didn't allow any runs in the same amount of innings is probably going to win Pitcher of the Month. This is going to be an entertaining Cy Young race for the rest of the season. And I also want to get out in front of it now, Craig. Look, Miz is going to be an all-star. That's not a doubt in my mind. Christopher Sanchez is going to start the all-star game. Let's just put that out in your heads right now here on May 31st, since All-Star voting is about to begin. Look, it's in Philly. He was top three in Cy Young last year. Christopher Sanchez is going to start the All-Star game. There is not going to be a competition here for Miz to somehow snatch that from him.
Yeah, I mean, if it keeps going like this, that's probably a no-brainer. There's no doubt about that. But we'll see who's got that. We'll see who's got it at the very end of the season. I just think it's great that we're really talking about this guy as really a true front runner to win the Cy Young Award this year, the way things are going. And the other thing that I will say too, I know there's a lot of comparisons numbers wise to Corbin Burns and stuff. And I went through, his whole Brewer career and whatnot, but I'll tell you what, this guy is singular, the most, to me, must watch pitcher. I mean, there's no comparison even between the two, and that's no knock on Corbin Burns or any other, electric pitcher we've seen in Brewer history. This guy is something to watch. He just flat out is. I mean, if you get excited watching a closer come in, especially back in the day, the dominant closers, and they got the music going and they're turning off the lights, or you got Trevor Hoffman, who is, obviously a Hall of Famer when he pitched for the Brewers and he got 600 in a Brewer uniform. This is still completely different stuff when you're talking about a starting pitcher. It's just amazing to me.
Just to give you the numbers, in their first 12 starts of a season, remember, Corbin Burns had 108 strikeouts in his first 12 starts of the season back in 2021. Jacob Mizrowski now has 108 strikeouts in his first 12 starts of the 2026 season. I think that's some pretty impressive stuff to see baseball come full circle. By the way, Corbin had 12 walks in those first 12 starts. Mizrowski has 19, so he's a little behind on that front, but opponents are only hitting .150 against him in this stretch. I mean, the top three starts to a season here are Corbin Burns, Jacob Mizrowski, and CC Sabathia. Now, start to a season as in start to a stint with the franchise. That's the best company you can keep for Brewer history, if you ask me. And Mizrowski is off to a great start, but it's only a start. We're a third of the way into the year. Maybe he could have had a CG. Maybe he could have had more. But another brilliant day for the Miz. His next start will likely be in Colorado, so we'll see how he learns to adjust to altitude. Maybe his stuff plays really well there as well. The offense. Jake Bauer showed up. Not so much everybody else. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. Right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Do a little who's hot, who's not. It's brought to you by your friends at Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Brewers win 2-0, all thanks to who's hot, Jake Bowers, that's for sure. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Cider makes it easy. You can get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home with short and long-term financing options. So you can call or visit Seider, SEIDER.com today. Families helping families since 1912. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dom Catronio. Jake Bowers continues to be the story of the Brewers. His only hit today left the yard into the Crawford boxes. He's got 9 homers to lead the team. He's got 19 extra base hits to lead the team. He's got an 842 OPS to lead the team. The list goes on for the only guy that's really been an everyday player aside from him and Contreras when you think about injuries, him and Terang. And for Jake Bowers in his age 30 season to be blossoming the way that he is, from spending a career as a part-time player to now being forced into everyday duty, I've just been sitting here so impressed that, again, where would the Brewers be without Jake Bowers' start to this season?
And well, I don't know, to be honest with you, but thank goodness he's here right now, and thank goodness he is absolutely thrilled to be a Brewer here right now. I mean, he is he's thriving. This is a great fit for him. And the fact that his versatility to top it off, Dom, and to stay in the lineup, you want to put him in right, you want to put him in left, put him at first, DH, whatever the case may be, made a great catch today. He was challenged out there as well against the wall a second time. So great to see from him. And I love his attitude. I just think a guy that just, you know, enjoys the game so much and has a great perspective on life off the field as well, certainly deserves, like you said, at age 30, to finally hit a stride here in his major league career. A lot of these guys that have become the elite in Major League Baseball don't get to play for a really long time, and he may not be a superstar at the end of the day, but he's still got a lot of good baseball left, and maybe it's all kind of quote-unquote really starting for him this year the way he started out for the crew.
I mean, again, for Bowers, too, playing left field, he played right field the other night. I think we're going to see this lineup a lot more because we've said it over and over again where the Brewers need to find as much offense as possible right now, given they just haven't had much. I mean, they win a series rubber match today in which Yelich, Mitchell, and Terang go a combined 0-for-12. They only had 4 hits in the contest and only 2 walks, and they never trailed. They had the lead in the fourth, and they held on. I mean, they win both series. They sweep the Cardinals, and they win 2 out of 3 against the Astros without a single hit all week from Terang. They had 2 days off from Contreras this week. They had Vaughn come in and out. They had Yelich was hot coming into this series, and he really cooled off. Frelick hasn't done a lot. Gary coming off the bench, he goes 0-for-3. I mean, the Brewers need their offense from Vaughn and Bowers. They need to be everyday players moving forward, whether it becomes Bowers playing more left, maybe Vaughn DHs, maybe we see Yelly in left or something. I don't know. But the point being, the best version of the Brewers offense features both Andrew Vaughn and Jake Bowers in the order. It's simply getting to a large enough sample size now, 2 months into the season, that, hey, the best players get to hit the most. And they're the ones carrying this offense and continuing to hit and make sure the Brewers have a chance to win games.
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to spring training too, Dom, and maybe you can speak, you know, better to this. But, you know, I think, you know, people were like, well, what are you going to do with both Vaughn and Bowers now? Because Vaughn needs to play every day at first base. You know, how are you going to fit them both in the lineup? They're probably too good to platoon. Maybe that was a thought early, but certainly now you're 100% that there's no way that these guys, one should sit and one should play in the same game and exchange like that. So yeah, find a way. And we've been saying this too now for a little bit of a stretch that outfield just hasn't produced as a whole. You know, a lot of power, a lot of runs, you know, delivered. And with Bowers having a chance to be out there a little bit more, you know, that's awesome. And look, he's fine out there. He has no problem. He's got a big time arm. We saw that from right field yesterday. And he's willing to lay it out and go for it like we saw today out in left field early in the game. So they both definitely need to be in that lineup. And the great thing is, you know, with the DH, you've got a third option right there to keep them both in there.
You know, something I just found that I think is really interesting, and I'm literally workshopping this take on the fly here, Craig, so bear with me here. Again, the Brewers still have the fewest home runs hit in baseball. They only have 40. And Bowers leads the team with 9. But something that I find sort of fascinating right now, I'm literally just uncovering this right now. The Brewers have the most intentional walks as a team in baseball, or I should say in the National League. Again, the Brewers have the most intentional walks as a team in the National League, meaning at some point or another, there's somebody that teams fear enough, they say, we don't want to face this guy right now. Let's go to the next guy. But you look at the Brewers lineup, again, they have the fewest home runs hit. Like, when you think of Yordan Alvarez, yeah, I want to walk that guy. When you think of Aaron Judge, yeah, I want to walk that guy. The Brewers have the most intentional walks in the National League. We didn't see one today. They draw walks. They steal bases. We know that. I'm just kind of perplexed by that stat jumping out at me just to show that this is a healthy offense. This is an offense that is dynamic, just even without hitting the ball over the fence.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a great uncover right there. And, you know, it doesn't always have to be that big star, that big power hitter that you're talking about, too. I mean, you're right. They do draw a lot of walks. They do steal a lot of bases. So first base is probably open a little bit more often than most for, you know, opposing pitchers. And so it's like, put that guy on. Let's try for the next guy. The other thing is a lot of their hitters are so similar here right now. Who do you want to face? You know, you just say, you know what? Put this guy on, load him up. Let's try to get a force out on this team. This team is so fast too, trying to reach first. They can bunt. They can do all these things. So it's almost like a pick your poison. But that's an interesting one to try to dissect, that's for sure.
I mean, again, a reminder of this week. The Brewers just went 5-1 this week against the Cardinals and the Astros. Bryce Durang went 0-19. Jackson Churio went 3-18. William Contreras went 4-19. And they went 5-1 this week. I mean, Jake, he only had 4 hits this week. He did draw 4 walks, or only 1 walk, I should say, as well. 4 hits, 2 of them were homers. I mean, I'm sitting here going, how did they just pull this off? And it's obviously just all the pitching.
Well, it is. And, you know, yeah, you're right. You go back to that game they won when there being no hit and ended up winning 2-1 in that game. And then today, I mean, you win these 2-0 games like this on one home run and that's it. But bottom line, it's all such beautiful and successful pitching here right now. And the great thing about it is they're not wasting it. I mean, there have been times in the past where the Brewers pitching has been stronger than hitting in their franchise, and they've wasted opportunities, and they have figured out not to waste opportunities. And I think those opportunities are, you know, the few times you actually do have a chance to score, you figure out how to do it. And then you play great defense as well and make sure you don't give anybody an opportunity to come back on you behind that great pitching. And today we saw great defense again. I mean, this team yesterday kind of sleepwalked their way to a, you know, a pretty putsy loss as it turned out, but they bounced back pretty nicely today. That's for sure.
They were very, very strong. A few texts here as well. This one, Jeff from Elkhorn, obviously Miz was incredible, and to do it with Sanchez instead of Contreras is a good sign. Good call there, Jeff. Bowers at bats are really good today. I do think the clock is ticking on Sal. A war hovering around 0. Do you think we'll see Lara, Williams, Pratt, or Madej before the end of June? Definitely not Madej before the end of June. I am standing by my take, which I said earlier this month. You will see at least one Lara, Jet, Cooper. At least one of them will be up by the end of June because the sample size is getting large enough. They're both playing. They're all really playing well in AAA Nashville. It's something to monitor for this offense moving forward. Good question. A few other texts to get to as well. We got to give some love to the bullpen too, because it's become so normal that the Brewers have a dominant bullpen and they continue to keep the good times rolling. Abner and McGill, they get the job done in a 2-0 shutout victory over the Astros here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Still rolling with Craig Kishon. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers win 2-0 over the Astros. They take the series finale. The Miz was great. A couple of texts. Alex from Oshkosh. Miz 7 scoreless, 8 punch. Bowers and the Brewers finished the month of May well above 500 overall. Series win Giants next. This one from the 262. I was up in Appleton for the T-Rats game. and it was the Miz bobblehead giveaway. Yeah, I saw the lines. They were crazy. One of the best months in Brewers history. What a series. And then this one from Doug. Once again, two runs is enough for the Miz, but for how long? Sooner or later, they got to score more runs for this guy. And can somebody besides the Brewers start, besides Bowers, I should say, start showing some power? Well, I'll tell you what, Craig, the bullpen has stabilized itself. There was some fear and some concern at the end of April. Of course, that tough series against the Blue Jays, even a couple of blow-ups against the Nats. But yet, McGill has righted the ship. Back-to-back 1-2-3 innings for him in both wins Friday and Sunday. Uribe is probably awaiting the decision on that appeal tomorrow. He'll probably still have to serve that one game, so I'm glad they got two games out of him this weekend. But to see the bullpen, just no funny business. Six up, six down, top of the order. It was never a doubt. It was never a worry against the best part of the Astros' order. This is what makes the Brewers' bullpen so dynamic, where normally you'd see Uribe. Today it was McGill, or what it was all weekend long. That they have multiple weapons. They have three guys at the back of this bullpen that you trust in the ninth inning without question.
Yeah, it's all about matchups here right now, and you know how these guys slot into facing some of these hitters. And Uribe faced the 8-9-1 and obviously breezed through that. And then McGill is back to being filthy again. He's back to looking like the all-star of a year ago again, taking care of Alvarez, Walker, and Trammell with pretty much ease. I mean, let's face it, a couple of big strikeouts against Alvarez and Walker, and then, you know, Trammell weakly grounds out to end the game. The Brewers, I should say, well, Houston was their final 17 batters all retired by the three big pitchers here in this one, in the Miz, Uribe, and McGill. But again, this is huge right now. You bring up a good point with Uribe. We don't know when baseball is going to, you know, make the decision on that appeal. So you get him out there while you can, and you don't overuse him either. And so his really efficient eighth inning, you know, hopefully will set up, you know, a chance if he's still, you know, with the team and not facing that one game suspension coming up here. I don't really know how long that takes. Sometimes it takes longer than you think, but these guys were all lights out against really, really big time hitters.
I want to point out McGill, too. So since that blow up against the Blue Jays back on April the 14th, so he's now appeared in 16 games since then. He's been scoreless in 13 of them and without an earned run in 14 of them. He is now currently on a six-inning scoreless streak in which he has not walked a batter in this latest streak, and he's only allowed two hits. He has 22 strikeouts over his last 16 innings with just two walks since that big blow up against the Blue Jays. And under the hood, the breaking ball numbers are starting to snap back. And if he's living at 97-98 and he's still getting the vert and the top rail stuff that he's able to do, I'm giving McGill the closer role. And for the time being, he's 8-9 now on the season. He has so much experience doing so. He was the all-star, like you said, last season. I got McGill in the ninth inning, and I'm keeping Ashby and Uribe in that 7th-8th inning role as the Swiss Army knife, depending on the matchup.
Yeah, I got that sense today, too, that Uribe and McGill looked to me like true 8th and 9th inning guys. I get the whole matchups type thing, but I think McGill is pitching, you know, so well here right now. It's really, truly back to that dominant role. And he's, you know, give him a lot of credit. Like you said, by the end of April, you know, he was faltering and almost needed a reboot of some kind. And he was able to do it. So you got to give him a lot of credit for the work that he puts in and the, you know, the staff turning him around back into form, if you will. But I'd take that. And, you know, the other thing, I don't want to dwell on anything here, but, you know, Uribe had that kind of emotional blow up, you know, earlier this week. And you can't do that again in a situation in the big leagues like that. It just can't happen again. But especially you can't take a risk right now if you do have a guy that can get back in there and be the closer as well. I mean, who you're going with complete confidence to, you know, bear down, be mentally strong, and get the job done. And again, this is not a knock on Uribe, but he did have that little blow up, and you got to learn from stuff like that and make sure it just can't happen again. And so if you have two guys that can go out there and do the job, I think you have to give it to McGill right now to finish and close it and take that W while you can get it.
Yeah, and this is also why we don't grade relievers on ERA, because it takes so long to erase one or two bad outings on the full season. Again, Uribe, since that big blow-up, 16 appearances, he's got a 1.13 ERA if you do care about that. But I like I said, I just really like what I'm seeing. I like the numbers that are popping out on StatCast. I think McGill has really turned a corner and is starting to look like the all-star we saw from a season ago. And overall, I mean, the Brewers had a great game plan against the Astros. They are a team that is middle-heavy, right? Peña, Alvarez, and Walker, especially the last two, Alvarez and Walker, are the guys that you have to keep under control. And, well, it was pretty simple. In the wins, they went a combined 1-16. In the wins for the Brewers, Alvarez and Walker went a combined 1-16. And then in the Astros win yesterday, they went a combined 3-8 with a double and a homer. They did their job against the guys they were supposed to do it against. And when the Brewers' leverage arms got into this game, they held control. They held serve, to use a French Open term. And to see the Brewers just kind of start to churn this overall month of April, 19-7, best record in baseball for the month, 2.52 ERA, best ERA for a month in franchise history. And the offense hasn't hit its stride yet. I am fired up for what the rest of this season is going to look like for the Brewers.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, we're I think one by one seeing things come together for this team, and really to get that bullpen. Look, what in the last month, just look how the bullpen, you know, has emerged with, you know, Ashby doing his thing now, and then Uribe and McGill, you know, really at a spot where they're truly like the 8-9 guys here right now. The defense has always been strong, really, for the most part. I really can't remember a game where the defense is really lost one. I mean, you're going to lose one or two along the way, but we know how strong the defense is. It's just getting this offense going. And it's not even just in sync here right now. It's not like they have four or five guys that are hot or three or four that are not. I mean, they've got to get several guys going, or potentially, you know, make some adjustments and hope that the guys that should be starting to hit start to hit here pretty doggone soon. But bottom line is, through all of that, watching the Miz just take his king's chair up there and do the thing that he's doing right now, it's his world to run right now as far as the Brewers go, and that's a pretty amazing thing.
I also want to say, the Brewers get through this gauntlet of a lot of playoff caliber teams. It's Major League Baseball. You can't take anything for granted. But the next three series are the Giants, the Rockies, and the A's. Keep the pedal to the metal. Do what you're supposed to against the teams that you're better than. And then when the Phillies come to town at the middle of June, there's another chance to really prove your litmus test and to prove what you're capable of for the rest of the season. That could be a playoff preview there. Greg Cashon, I appreciate you as always, my friend. Working when you're not working the telecast, we appreciate you greatly, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Tom. Sounds good. Take care, buddy.
All right. Greg Cashon joining us here on 620 WTMJ. So I'm buying the fact that the Brewers should have a better record. I mean, could continue to improve. They're 14 games above 500. That's a season high mark again. They were at that after Friday's win as well. So I'm buying that this team has still got more on the tank, that they're going to get better. What are you? Do you buy or sell that? It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. We will give our player of the game out, give you some odds and ends on some stats a little bit later, highlights, and Pat Murphy as well. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers get the victory, 2-0. Just enough offense. Jake Bauer is going yard. We'll get to the highlights a little bit later. Chef Ed texting in, an amazing May. I think that Murph needs to sit Yelly a couple games. What say you? Hey, his timing was off. He had come in with seven hits in that series against the Cardinals, and he cooled off this weekend in Houston. Timing is timing. It comes and goes. That's why we have 600 or so plate appearances for a season, right? He had a bad weekend. It's all good. Nothing to panic about. But yeah, he gave Churio the day off. He gave Contreras the day off. How about that? The Brewers won a game without Churio and Contreras in the lineup. It's pretty good. This is from Mika from Muskego, unless that's Mike and you misspelled it. Is anyone who's, because there's also some misspellings in the team, in the player names that you're mentioning here, anyone has seen Bowers, Frelick, and Vaughn all play this year, but then starts Frelick? I think that's obnoxious. I disagree. Frelick delivers something with the glove, but yet Black is currently in AAA, by the way, as you mentioned Tyler Black in here as well. Jake Bowers is going to play more in the outfield. Vaughn is going to be playing first base and DH a lot, maybe giving Yelly days on certain days as well, but you are going to see a lot more of Bowers and Vaughn in the same lineup moving forward. This one from Aaron in Illinois. Do you think Miz gets a complete game this year? I think so. I think Murph thought about sending him out there for the eighth inning today. Credit Abner and McGill with two very good innings. Hamilton's starting to play a little bit better, and he's got some wheels. Is he going to lock himself as the everyday third baseman? I don't think Hamilton is going to be the everyday third baseman. I think it is a little telling. Now, granted, you only faced righties all weekend long, that Renjifo only started one of the games against these righties. Now, of course, he had the throwing error the other day that would have been a double play. Instead, the inning continued. Brewster won the game. It did not matter. But I wonder what the Brewers are thinking about right now, given you're getting ready for the Giants to come to town. Landon Roop is a righty. He goes tomorrow. Trevor McDonald is on Tuesday. He's a righty. Logan Webb is a righty. Adrian Hauser is a righty. So I'd imagine Hamilton starts at least three of those games and maybe all four. I think that's a serious consideration right now. Now, granted, sometimes certain righties, they want to get Hamilton to short and have Ortiz sit the bench, and then they bring in Renjifo to third base. But I would imagine Hamilton's going to play all four of these games between short and third base coming up. My question then becomes, if Renjifo is not going to face a lefty, which we'll see when the Brewers see a lefty, maybe they'll see Kyle Freeland when they're in Colorado, but if Renjifo's not going to be in there against lefties, which he should be, given he's a switch hitter, but he's been really struggling from the right side, what are you waiting on Jet Williams, who can play third base? Or what are you waiting on Cooper Pratt? You've already signed him to the deal. So I think that's something to monitor in these next 2 weeks of time. Renjifo's playing time, Hamilton's playing time, Ortiz is playing time. It will all shake out as it's supposed to. Performance always rises to the top. The Brewers will find a way to make this mix and match work. And they have reinforcements on the way, okay? I've reminded folks, and I'll remind again, the third base market, and just looking just preliminarily at what's going on around baseball, there's not a lot available. There is not a lot of bats available coming up this trade deadline. So I'm just mentally preparing you for that. There's nothing really sexy, depending on what the Tigers decide to do with like a Gleyber Torres, who's on a qualifying offer. Tigers have lost 21 of their last 25 games. And no, yes, of course, Tarek Skubal would be cool. The Brewers are not going to be a factor in Tarek Skubal. It's not what they need. It's a plethora. To think that your three heading into the postseason would be some combination of Jacob Mizorowski, Kyle Harrison, Brandon Woodruff, and then you throw in a combo of Chad Patrick, a combo of Logan Henderson, a combo of maybe even Shane Drouin, depending on how he goes tomorrow. I really like that. And yeah, Skubal would be quite a bit of a plethora on an expiring deal. Maybe it doesn't cost as much, but I don't think they need pitching. They need hitting. That's what we just spent the whole last segment talking about. But our player of the game is brought to you by International Autos Group. It's the easiest pick ever. Once again, Jacob Mizorowski. But I also got to give love to Jake Bowers. 1-for-4 with the homer and also a great diving catch in the outfield. Deserves some love for that. Miz, 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 8 punch. His 6th win of the season, 5th in the month of May. Could have been 6-0 in May if it wasn't for Gavin Sheets. How about it? Best month in franchise history for a starting pitcher, perhaps for a Brewer, in Jacob Mizorowski in the month of May. Now, I saw a text, maybe co-pitchers of the month? 2 outstanding starters with Sanchez and Mizorowski. I would love to see it. I would love co-pitchers of the month because I don't know how you can pick one. I really don't. But the Brewers get the victory 2-0. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. He's coming up in a moment. Our player of the game, brought to you by International Autos. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive in a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Back with Murph after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers get the victory, 19-7 this month. Pretty impressive. And some great series wins on this list, too. I'm Dom Catronio. So they're 35-21 on the year. They started the month 16-14. Let me just read off the last. Since losing that series to the Pirates, remember Skeens dominated, and then they blew a game late, lost in 10 to the Pirates. Let me just read you, since that series, Friday, April 24th through 26th, Diamondbacks series win. I'm saying series wins, okay? Diamondbacks series win. Nationals series win. Cardinals split because of a rainout. Yankees sweep. Padres series win. Twins series win. Cubs at Wrigley sweep. Dodgers series loss. They did not play well that series. Cardinals sweep. Astros sweep. One series loss in the last month plus for the Brewers. And it was against the best team that money can buy. And he didn't play well. They missed Miz. They missed Harrison in that series. I'm just pointing it out. I'm just pointing out facts here. So I'm really liking what the Brewers have done lately. And again, the upcoming schedule right now for the Brewers, you've got a little bit of a, I dare say breather. Again, they're major league teams. You can't take anybody for granted. But they're all three straight series against teams under 500. But then you get quality opponents back to back to back. Philly, Cleveland, Atlanta. Cincinnati's frisky. Chicago, Cincinnati, Arizona, St. Louis. So, and then Pittsburgh. I mean, all the way through the rest of the first half, these are probably your last three series of the first half where you're facing a team that's under 500. So take advantage of it. Give yourself some breathing room because this NL Central has been amazing to watch. Checking over on Cincinnati, they're playing Atlanta today. They did win again today, so they salvage the finale. They do not get swept by the Braves. Everybody in the division is at least two games above 500. We're through May now. It's deep. It's getting real now. I mean, you're facing each other again. Now the Brewers will have back-to-back series against the Reds in June. Maybe that'll come back down to earth for Cincinnati because they are going to go through it on the pitching side of things. All right. That's enough for me. Let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, after his season.
I think he was very good. Let's face it. When you throw seven big league innings against a team at their place that have won eight out of their last 11 or eight out of their last 12, and you have those type of horses in the middle of the lineup, you know, I thought he did great. Did he have his best, most crisp stuff? No. But he gave us seven innings and probably could have gave us a little more, but we want to be smart about, you know, everything we do there. His delivery was a little clunky, I think he'll tell you that, but a little bit mistimed, whatever. And, you know, yeah, but he was still pumping pretty good in the seventh.
Murph, we were talking in the press box, 0.23 ERA in the month of May for Miz and six starts. I mean,
can you say that again?
0.23 ERA for Miz and six starts in May. I mean, can you encapsulate what that was like, you know, watching that?
That's a good May. Wouldn't you say? Unbelievable. That's a good May.
Pretty good May for your club, too. Do you feel like they have some of that edge back that
what
you're
did we,
talking about?
I don't think we're playing particularly well. I really don't. But again, I trust these guys, and I think, you know, they're doing a lot of good things. There's a lot of people contributing. Look at today, Hamilton, he really contributed. You look at Bowers, he's been unbelievable defensively and offensively. Vaughn got his normal two hits, you know what I mean, or whatever. He's been very, very good. And, you know, Terang hits three balls right on the nose and gets nothing, you know. So, there's a lot of good things happening. You know, we're giving guys a day here and there. I give Churio and Contreras a day off, and the club still came through. You know, that's losing a lot of firepower there. But, yeah, Miz and Uribe and McGill, Miguel again has refound his confidence and he's attacking the zone, and it's he's really good. So happy to get out of here, not playing our best, but certainly doing the things we need to do.
I agree with Murph entirely. They are not playing their best, and they still went 19-7 in the month of May. The offense will get going. I believe it will. You're getting everybody back. And remember, tomorrow I've got that calendar invite. Remember to look back at the lineup from earlier in May. Remind yourself, oh, yeah, it's all going to be okay. And it was. All right? Let the process do its thing. We'll relive it coming up next with some highlights as the Brewers win 2-0 over the Astros on 620 WTMJ.
This
brought it back.
And this,
it is gone.
Time for tonight's highlights.
Brewers sending their ace Jacob Mizorowski to the mound to try to win a rubber match against the Astros. Tetsuya Imai on the other side, coming off of his no-hitter against the Rangers last week, a combined no-hitter, so it doesn't really count. Anyway, moving on. Brewers got the introduction to Yordan Alvarez and introducing Jacob Mizorowski to the slugging
left. Taps the plate with his bat and looks out at Mizorowski. 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Elevated a fastball at 102. It was on the outer part of the plate. And Alvarez went after it, and he goes down on strikes. And advantage Miz. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. Put him away on three pitches.
That was his 35th strikeout this season on three pitches. That is the most in baseball by 15. And he did it against maybe the best hitter in baseball as well. So nothing after one. The Brewers were actually starting out pretty cold offensively in this one. But everybody knows the rules. You got to make a good defensive play before you go yard.
And this is lined into left center field, on the move and diving and making the catch is Jake Bowers in left center. Oh, my goodness. What a great first step. What a great read. And he laid out for it.
So there's the great play. Now, to settle
one on
over the
one
wall.
Out here. The 1-2. Flied into deep left field. Backing up Trammell. Turning around. Watching it fly. Goodbye, Jake Bowers. Into the Crawford boxes. It's a two-run opposite field homer. Big swing by Jake.
How about it? So, opposite field, Crawford boxes. He had some really good at-bats against Imai today. Then after getting out of a bases-loaded jam in the third, Miz really hit cruise control. He allowed a double in the fourth, and then it would be nothing else picking things up
one,
in the
two
fifth
pitch.
Inning.
And a swing and a miss. He leaned on the curveball in that inning. He strikes out Pena, his sixth strikeout of the afternoon. The Miz doing Miz things in Houston so far.
He was fantastic. Then he got through the sixth with a pair of strikeouts, including Taylor Trammell for a third time. Eight Ks, six or seven shutout. He dominated the Astros today on 88 pitches. So he was done after seven. Abner Uribe had the eighth. He went 1-2-3 in that one. But the real tough assignment was for Trevor Miguel. It's still just 2-0. The Brewers couldn't do anything offensively after that homer from Jake Bowers. His assignment was Alvarez, Walker, and Trammell. Alvarez struck out swinging on a fastball. Walker struck out swinging on a curveball. All that was left
McGill,
was Trammell.
First pitch is a broken bat ground ball to second base. Rolls out to Terang, throws to first in time, and the Brewers shut out the Astros this afternoon to win this game 2-0 and win this series 2-1. The Brewers' fifth shutout of 2026, and they finished the month of May with their fourth shutout of the month. Milwaukee wins it 2-0.
How about it? Brewers get the job done. Five shutouts on the year, four of them this month, as you heard Lane say. That is tied for the most in the National League. They continue to dominate with their pitching staff. Final line scores in this one. The Brewers had two runs on just four hits, no errors, and they only left three on base. They went a combined 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position this series and somehow won 2 out of 3. On the other side for the Stros, no runs, three hits, no errors. They left four. They were 0-for-3 today with runners in scoring position. The win to Miz, he's 6-2 with a 1.65 ERA. The loss to Imai, He's 2-3 with a 5.52. A hold for Uribe, his sixth, and a save for McGill, his eighth. It took 2 hours, 27 minutes in front of 28,000-plus at Daikin Park. We will preview the Giants series coming up next and get ready to say goodbye right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
All right, our final few minutes of the program here. Upcoming schedule. Back at home, quick little flight up back north. It's about 2.5 hours. I've done it already twice this year. The Giants coming to town. Shane Drouin getting the ball tomorrow. How about that? The left-hander will get the start. Shane Drouin tomorrow. Kyle Harrison on Tuesday. Then TBD for the Brewers. Now, the reason for that is the Brewers have to decide, do they want Shane Drouin to be a traditional starter tomorrow? Or do they want to piggyback him with Chad Patrick? Whatever they ultimately decide to do, depending on how long Shane can draw, given he hasn't really been stretched out for a little while now. He threw two innings his last go, three innings against the Dodgers. He threw 4 1/3 against the Cubs and lengthy relief for Brandon Sproat back on the 18th, which is now 2 weeks ago. So can he channel that again? We shall see for Shane Drouin. However long you get out of him, he's been really strong this year. 11 appearances. It'll be a second big league start going up against the San Francisco Giants. And then it'll be Kyle Harrison making his start against his former ball club, the club that drafted him, the club that was in his backyard growing up. That is on Tuesday. Wednesday, TBD for the Brewers. It could be Coleman Crow. It could be Brandon Woodruff. It could be Chad Patrick. We shall see. Doesn't matter. They're going up against the ace of the Giants, Logan Webb, who's had a stop and start year. He was on the injured list briefly. He spent the minimum time, or just 20 days on the injured list earlier in the year. He's got a 21% strikeout rate, which is pretty low, but the ground balls are still elite for him. His ERA is higher than his FIP, suggesting he's had some bad luck to start the season. He goes on Wednesday. And then old friend Adrian Hauser on Thursday gets the ball for the Giants. Again, TBD for the Brewers in the finale. It is 6:40 first pitch Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then back to the summertime 1:10 midweek first pitch start on Thursday against San Francisco. Then it's out west. It's the series that pitchers fear. Rockies and A's in Las Vegas, and we'll have some Brewers extra innings after dark for you coming up next week. But we will have post-game shows after Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we'll have Brewers Weekly on Thursday. So we're in quite the stretch of producing content for you right now, just like the team being in the middle of a 13 games consecutive streak right now for the crew. The other thing to keep an eye out for Milwaukee, Jared Koenig, rehab assignment, made his second appearance, touched 95 today for AAA Nashville. That's good to see. Rob Zastrzyzny was activated today. That's good to see. The bullpen is still going to get a little bit better as they move forward in the season. And then they get ready for a little break from the Central Division after facing the Cardinals this last week. They don't see a Central Division opponent until they go to Cincinnati on the 22nd. So they're going to have 3 straight weeks outside of the division, and then they go to Cincy, and they'll have a 2 week straight, really, against interdivisional opponents. Speaking of that division, let's give you the out-of-town scoreboard here as we say goodnight. Again, Sunday Night Baseball tonight, Cubs-Cardinals, rubber match of that series as well. Matthew Liberatore for St. Louis against Jordan Wicks for Chicago. Pittsburgh swept the Twins 9-3. In that one, it was Braxton Ashcraft with 11 strikeouts and no walks in that game for Pittsburgh. They win 9-3, homer for Ryan O'Hearn and Nick Gonzalez, former teammate of Joey Ortiz. Also today, we mentioned it a moment ago, but the Reds win 6-4 over the Braves, but at what cost? Because Ellie De La Cruz had to exit this game due to a hamstring strain. The preliminary results are hoping they caught it early, but they are expecting some time off for Ellie. He's been off to a great start. He was 2-for-2, even a walk in that game. He's hitting .280 on the season. Keep an eye on that. A homer for Eugenio Suarez in that game for Cincinnati. They're in last place in the Central at 30-28. Hang with them, man. That is tough to deal with for them. Wacky game in Sacramento. The Yankees scored 13 runs in the third inning, and they lead 13-3 after the A's scored 3 in the bottom of the first inning off of Will Warren. And since then, it's been all Yankees, all 13 runs in the third inning. Weird score there. Giants be ending up on the Rockies because it's Coors. It's 14-6. Old friend Willie Adames, he hit a grand slam in that one. And Rafi Devers has three doubles in that game, too. So those are the next two opponents for the Brewers, the Giants and the Rockies, coming up this week. That is going to just about do it for us. Thanks for listening. I will be with you tomorrow. I'll be on the road. I am on assignment in Philadelphia tomorrow watching Padres-Phillies. But then I'm off on Tuesday. Bob Brenner will be stepping in. Wednesday, I'm back. No problem at all. Thursday, no post-game show, but we'll have Brewers Weekly that night at 8 o'clock. And we'll talk a little bit about the labor stuff on Brewers Weekly on Thursday as well. So, appreciate you listening. Remember, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find all the post-game shows there, including this one, or over on the WTMJ YouTube. Our producer has been Evan Witalison. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.